Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural, daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods: black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information, order order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's MyFutureFarm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, and from now until September 15th, buy one bottle of Black for Health. You get one bottle of elderberry with zinc and echinacea half off at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're talking to Dr. Benjamin Asher. He's a New York City-based ENT doctor, otolaryngologist, but he's renowned for his innovative non-surgical approaches to ENT problems. He's the go-to guy if you've got a voice problem. He takes care of a lot of performers here in New York. Interestingly, prior to attending medical school, Dr. Asher worked as a full-time meditation teacher. And actually, your history is a little similar to mine. And I always like it when I meet individuals like you. I've met a few who had sort of a avocation towards natural healing before going to medical school and decided to go to medical school for the simple reason that they wanted to apply their holistic approach to healing. And that's probably what you had in the back of your mind. You went on to perform conventional surgery and do, you know, incredible high-tech medical exploits. But nonetheless, that background as a meditator, you brought forward in your integrative practice that has evolved now. Coming back to our subject, which is our current medical system is fear-based, and we need a different paradigm. You know, I've got to say that integrative medicine or holistic medicine or preventive medicine, whatever we want to call ourselves, we're sometimes guilty of this because we inculcate in patients sometimes the attitude that their illness is a result of something they did wrong. You know, people come in to see me frequently, as they do see you. They have cancer or they have something, and they say, you know, I can't understand why I got this because they think it's a merit system. They think, you know, I've been eating a great diet. I've been exercising. How could this calamity befall me? And it's a little bit like some sort of, you know, ancient superstition that somehow the gods, you know, in this case, the god of holistic health, didn't look favorably on them, and that somehow they're deficient and they missed the mark, and they carry the responsibility for a terrible disease. That's a horrible burden.
It is a horrible burden, and it's absolutely not true. I mean, that's just that. But and so, I mean, I think the part of what in the unwinding of somebody who's holding that place, and it, first of all, it's important for somebody who is in a process of a chronic disease to actually look at that voice that's saying that. So I often ask people the question right up front, or I tell people right up front, yep, oh, you didn't create this, mm-hmm, because it's such a self-defeating voice. It serves no value, no purpose. It doesn't do anything other than the fact that make you feel terrible, mm-hmm, and make you, and it doesn't, it's a nocebo effect as opposed to the right placebo effect, really, right, you know? So,
I mean, I actually recall one of my patients saying, you know, I trace it back and she gave me the date. She says, and I let the doctors give me an antibiotic then. And I'm so angry because I let them give me an antibiotic, and ever since then, my digestive tract has been completely off, and I can't restore it to normalcy. And I'm just so angry. I'm so angry that I made that mistake, and I just
right,
and I immediately exonerated her. I said, look, you know, it's not your fault, and you know, maybe there was something in the circumstances of your GI tract that made you susceptible to this, because not every time someone takes an antibiotic do they go into a death spiral, you know.
Right. So then the next thing is to sort of look at the anger element. That's how, I mean, what I usually do is in this situation is I'll say, okay, well, whatever. There's a lot of anger in the field here. I tell people to have an experience of their emotion, whatever that is, and take the narrative out of it. So if this let's say a person's sitting there going, oh, I'm so angry that I let the doctor do this and that, because these intense feelings don't really exist without a narrative. So they need a narrative to keep them perpetuating.
Right.
So I say, okay, feel what you're feeling, but take the storyline out of it. Drop that storyline. If you can possibly do it, even for 5 seconds, drop the storyline out of it. Feel what that feeling is. Feel the energy of the feeling. And feel what happens when you actually just feel the feeling, and there's no story, it's just a feeling. That anger, whatever that energy is, when it's not attached to a storyline, it actually does something. And it can change. I had a personal experience where I was just like, I was so angry at all these people, just furious at all this stuff. And I just sat there and I go, oh, wow, that's interesting. And I just dropped away all the stories and I just felt the anger. I just felt what I felt, that coal of anger that was sitting in me. And when I did that, that energy shifted. And all of a sudden, I just didn't feel that way about these people anymore.
It was less tethered to a rationale.
Exactly. It could be released. So I try to help people who are in what I call shadow emotions to hold the field of their shadow without having to create a narrative around it. Because what happens is that we often hold on to an illness, whatever, because that's part of the narrative. So it's like you get this and then, I'm angry and it's all this problem, et cetera, et cetera. But the anger and the narrative are going together. So if you can separate the two, sometimes there can be enormous relief. I mean, that's kind of what John Sarnow did with his patients and sort of writing out all the anger that they felt. At some point in time, you dissipated it all and then you could drop into that. It didn't need to have a somatic peace to it anymore.
Are there perverse incentives to stay ill, so-called secondary gain? People consciously, in some cases, people actually have what's called Munchausen's disease. They inflict damage on themselves. That's a clinical psychiatric disorder. But, do sometimes people find almost a raison d'etre in their illness?
I do see it sometimes. In my practice, I sometimes see it in my performers, that there are performers who, rather than, because either they're not that good at it, or they're really afraid of what will be if they're successful or whatever, they constantly get sick just before an audition or something like that. It's very interesting to see. So the illness becomes the excuse, and that's why it didn't ever happen, and that does happen. But, I think that's probably the exception rather than the rule. I think people, I don't know that it's always going on. To go back to something we were talking about, the natural approaches, because we end up, there's a belief that if you have all of your numbers, your lab numbers, in the right box, that somehow you're going to be healthy and nothing bad is going to happen.
Right. It's like an amulet, like a magic amulet that's going to ward off all evil.
Right. So there's this terrific book. It's called Human Heart, Cosmic Heart, and it's all about heart disease and heart attacks. And basically, he says all of your numbers can be in the totally wonderful realm, but it's not a guarantee that you're not going to have a heart attack, because really that's all about stress, and it's all about your parasympathetic sympathetic nervous system, about how you actually are living your life. So there is definite there's a good reason to be looking more deeply and working towards having a deeper connection to something bigger than oneself in one's life, in some kind of stress reduction practice, meditation practice, something like that. There's definite huge health benefits, which are probably beyond measurable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule, verified by rigorous independent testing. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/biotics research. That's drhoffman.com/biotics research for Biomega Fish Oil. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Ben Asher. To sort of switch the polarity a little on this discussion, there's a lot of physician burnout. And you know, I just read that the majority of residents are suffering from burnout. Well, that's a no-brainer. I was suffering from burnout during my residency. I was, you know, sleep deprived, and I was, you know, overloaded with patients, and I was, you know, a young person with life or death responsibility, under, you know, abysmal working conditions. But for a lot of doctors, they experience burnout, and precisely the doctors who experience the most burnout are the most compassionate doctors. That's called compassion burnout. Where doctors who have more empathy, they feel the pain and suffering of the patients who come before them, and it affects them. It has a deleterious effect on them, and they're often powerless sometimes to cure every patient. Doctors are perfectionistic people. They've, you know, gotten straight A's through grammar school, high school, college, medical school, you know, honors programs, and so on. And when they confront the unpredictability of human suffering and disease, it's a setup for burnout and depression, despair, suicide even. So how does this type of practice for a physician help a physician be a better physician and avoid burnout? Have you noticed changes in yourself? Because, I mean, many doctors, you know, our age are just dropping out. They're retiring.
Well, I mean, it's given me a different perspective on what my responsibility is, and that I don't feel the same responsibility to fix everybody. So I can't do that. That's just not, it's not in the realm of possibilities. I can't fix everybody that comes in. What I can do is help people, guide people, put them on a path to their own healing, and I can do all of that. But I cannot absolutely fix and cure everybody. If that's my standard, I will burn out.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece, which it's interesting, is how doctors handle their mistakes and feel about making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I've offered this course on several occasions where the holistic management of making medical mistakes, and there's not very much interest in it.
Right. People don't want to show up in a class like that.
They don't want to show up in a class like that.
Yeah.
It's like they're really not interested. But it's like that piece, because the people that carry the biggest club in the world of medicine are the doctors beating themselves up.
Mm-hmm.
We are taught from the moment we start medical school that if you make a mistake, you're the biggest, you know, piece of garbage that ever walked the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And it's less probably true now than it was when we were training, but the amount of abuse we got for making mistakes was absolutely horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have a lot of PTSD around that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to step back and realize that having self-compassion is absolutely essential. There's a great TED talk on this, self-compassion, because self-esteem is versus self-compassion. Self-esteem is sort of this inflated place of like, I'm great, I'm perfect, I know what I'm doing, I'm so smart.
Mm-hmm.
And but there is a huge deflation element when you have all the self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you have self-compassion, it's like, wow, you know, I'm doing the best I can, and I'm okay with what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. With a sense of humility about it, you know.
Sense of humility about it. I had a really bad complication once on one of my surgical cases, and you know, my colleague who was doing the operation with me, he just said to me, you know, it is really hard being a surgeon. And, you know, that's just the reality. It is a really very tough job. Mm-hmm. And you're going to make mistakes. It happens. Mm-hmm. And even in my training program, where the chief of my department was really not a very nice man, if somebody had a complication, he was actually really nice about it. Hmm. He would say to them, if you haven't had a complication, you don't do enough surgery.
Yeah, right.
So it's like being able to hold that space for oneself, one's mistakes, one's fallibility. And I think that is part of the solution to burnout, is not holding oneself to an impossible standard, mm-hmm. Which we all do. And that's true everywhere. I mean, you go to a meeting and you hear these people talking and you listen to what they have to say and you go, God, I don't know any of this stuff. How am I going to do this? I don't know this stuff. It's a complete sense that everybody else knows more than I do. Mm-hmm. But that's not true. It's just the system is set up in that way where you're always looking outside yourself for answers.
Hmm. So I also wanted to focus on your meditation practice because, okay. You know, that's something that you've adhered to. Tell us a little bit about what it's like. And then in your Vimeo video, which maybe you can give a reference to, you talk about some new tweaks that you've added to your meditation practice.
Yes.
That sound very, very interesting.
So I do, I do a transcendental meditation. That's what I've done all kinds. But I do TM, and that's the one that I started doing when I was like 18, and I just continued, and that's where I became a teacher. So I do that. So I'll do that for 20 minutes or something like that.
So you do this in like a sitting position and a chair?
I do it in a sitting position. I sit down and mm-hmm. I have a mantra and I think my mantra. Mm-hmm. But you can do a breathing meditation. Mm-hmm. You can do you can focus on your breath. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that you find works, there's no right meditation. I mean, they all work. There's research on all of them, shows they're all effective. But after I do my sitting meditation and I'm in this very calm state, I do three things. The first thing I do is I think the word gratitude. But it's not gratitude for all the good things. I actually feel into
the
feeling
nice car.
Of gratitude.
You know, I have my kids are very successful. They're earning a living.
Right.
They've gotten into great colleges. Yeah, that's not what you're thinking, right?
That's not what I'm thinking at all. No, I'm thinking I have gratitude for the fact that I'm even here, okay. That it's even the universe even exists, that it's all whatever it is that's here. I'm in absolute gratitude for the fact that it is,
mm-hmm.
And I just hold that field of gratitude. So I say I just say the words gratitude four times, like every 15 seconds or something. But I have that feeling of gratitude, and then I think the words divine love. Now, whether you believe in God or not, and I don't know what divine love looks like, but whatever it comes to me, however the experience in that moment of divine love, however that comes, mm-hmm. I just have let that experience filter through. And I think
Tap into your Mayan experience? Because that seems like a very
You know, it's interesting. It is, you know, that experience is visceral, and it's in my, I have that in my, you know, field, mm-hmm. But whatever happens, sometimes I have this experience and I'll see all kinds of, you know, geometric whatever is it, I don't know, all kinds of things happen when I think that.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter. It can just be some tickle in your heart or mm-hmm. some vibration mm-hmm. in your hands or something like that that may come through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the words divine love and whatever that is, I do that four times. And then I think the words perfection, that everything is perfect as it is. Nothing has to be different.
Mm.
Just holding that absolute, there's nothing, mm-hmm. nothing has to be right. any different.
So for a lot of people, perfection is something to strive towards. I'm striving
right.
towards, I'm not there yet, but I'm striving towards perfection. Every day in every way, I'm getting better and better.
Right.
So that's not,
this is the
that's
idea
not what that's
that there's
about.
No, there is nothing in this moment, in this absolute moment of time, in this space, of this moment, there is nothing needs to be any different than what it is. And that's the perfection. And in that, if you have one nanosecond of that experience, the depth of the space that creates is beyond, it's actually beyond expression.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. And then that's what I do. And then I'm done. And I do that every day. Mm-hmm. And that added thing to my own meditation practice has really changed mm-hmm. how I feel in so many different ways. And it really, in terms of the burnout piece, it's particularly had a very big impact. So that's refreshing.
It's refreshing. I once heard Jerry Seinfeld, who's actually a meditator. I think he does TM, and from his early comedic career. People don't realize that. You know, he's just a funny, irreverent guy, but he's a meditator. And he was being interviewed by Alec Baldwin on his radio program. And Alec Baldwin asked him, you know, what does it feel like? You know, what's it like? How does it feel when you meditate? And he says, well, have you ever taken a nap and woken up and found it the most refreshing nap you ever took? He said, that's what meditation is like. You know,
right.
and that was an interesting way of describing it. I guess it's more than just a physical refreshment. It's something that operates at a different level. I guess you don't tell patients, hey, you know, you've got back pain. Hey, why don't you try meditation to get rid of your back pain? That's more of a utilitarian way of approaching meditation.
I give people a lot of different meditations to do, and I'll teach some patients a meditation technique. There are some great meditations online. There's a meditation on YouTube called Ananda Mandala, which is a breathing meditation. Richard Brown, the psychiatrist mm-hmm. in New York, has yep. got this coherent breathing practice, which is a wonderful meditation of 6 seconds in, 6 seconds out. It is so restorative. So there are a lot of techniques out there, and you just have to find one that suits you. An interesting point is I do find that people that are trauma survivors mm-hmm. do much better with a mindfulness-based practice.
Mm-hmm.
Because something that keeps them grounded, people that have had a lot of trauma tend to leave their bodies very easily. And I think that some of the mantra-based mm. practices, which are sort of more on the transcendental side, it actually can provoke a lot of fear in people, and mm-hmm. they don't like the experience. Mm-hmm. So a mindfulness-based practice like Jon Kabat-Zinn mindfulness stress reduction, or the Buddhist Vipassana practices, or just some kind of breathing practice, I think are better for people that have had those experiences in their life.
You know, and in the Vimeo video, you also allude to the use of certain medications as sort of portals to this experience of love and forgiveness, like MDMA.
The research on MDMA for post-traumatic stress disorder is very compelling, and they're in phase 3 clinical trials now doing MDMA-guided therapy.
For our listeners who don't know what that is, can you explain?
MDMA is the party drug ecstasy, mm-hmm. And it's called an empathogen. And what empathogens are is they're medicines that open your heart, make you feel more love. And it allows people to, because the heart is so open, it allows them to look at these very dark places and open up to these places that are really locked down and they've been afraid to look at. And I watched a video of a Iraqi war veteran who was having terrible PTSD on MDMA with two therapists. Mm-hmm. And it was like the most profound thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Him really, really working with these demons that have been, you know, he's been struggling with. And then he was able to open up into that. And, you know, the research is showing that two MDMA sessions for people with severe PTSD basically are curative in about 75 or 80% of people. I mean, it's unbelievable, the research. So it goes to show, I mean, the big piece of this, to my mind, is it goes to show how powerful compassion is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the healing power of an open heart is really, to my mind, what it's all about. And that's what the sort of my experience in Mexico really taught me. I had this feeling of as I was feeling that so much love pouring through, I realized that we block all this out. Mm-hmm. And really, this is who mm-hmm. we really are. Mm-hmm. And that by blocking that out, mm-hmm. we create a lot of issues and things that really we don't need to have, because that's really not who we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, it's been said that the human brain is a very, very complex organ, and as we progressively mature and sort of organize our behaviors, we sort of block out many of the inherent pathways that are within our brain. And, you know, that's the process of civilization, the process of maturation. These are capacities that we can tap back into, and it requires sometimes facilitation through an experience like yours, through a healer or through MDMA. By the way, don't try that at home, you know, because it's used as a rave drug. It's kind of frivolous.
Right. It has no use as a rave. That the benefit is only in using it in a guided therapeutic situation, and that's the only way to do that now is through a clinical trial because the drug remains illegal. Mm-hmm. So people have found ketamine is, of course, now the big thing.
Dissociative drug, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a dissociative drug. It doesn't seem, I don't think it works on the same, in the same pathway, but it does seem to have some effect on people who have pretty serious depression.
Mm-hmm. Sort of may break the vicious cycle of some brain circuitry that just is sort of repetitive and, you know, maybe that needs to be, stopped through a medication.
Right.
Yeah. Great stuff. Do we have any resources that we want to point people in the direction of? Of course, we can mention your practice in Manhattan, and there's a website. What's that, please?
The website is asherent.com,
mm-hmm.
And my practice is in Chelsea on 18th and 8th Avenue. 254 West 18th Street, and can I get my phone number?
Yeah, please.
It's 212-223-4225.
What about that Vimeo video?
Vimeo video is, if you just go on Vimeo.com and you Google my name, or I'm not, you search my name, Benjamin Asher, MD, mm-hmm. The Vimeo comes up. Or you can go on my website. My website has actually got a link to it as well.
Mm-hmm. And once again, that is?
Asher, A-S-H-E-R-E, and as in Nancy, T.com. There are some other guided imagery CD things on the internet. Hemisync.com is a good resource for all kinds of relaxation CDs and guided imagery. There's a woman named Bella Ruth Naparstek. Her website is healthjourneys.com. And Marty Rossman, thehealingmind.org. These are resources that have got all kinds of guided imagery, relaxation processes that you can download and listen to for all kinds of things and illnesses and surgery, etc. For relaxation, there's also Headspace is an app you can download on your phone, or Calm is another app you can download on your phone, which are mindfulness-based apps that really help with relaxation. So those are all things that you can easily do on your own.
Well, great stuff. And, you know, as I told folks at the beginning of this podcast, this is completely different, but a very, very important element of healing. And I'm really so thrilled that you're bringing this to the fore. You know, congratulations on your personal evolution as well as applying this in your practice, because true healing, I think we're missing some elements when we just do it on a material level.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Ron. I really appreciate, you being open to talking about this and having it on your on your podcast. So
I'm sure
really
listeners
great.
Will find it interesting. Thank you so much for joining us, Ben
yeah.
Asher. And I'll see you around the campus, because we're both residents of the Big Apple here in New York City.
Right.
Thanks for joining
okay.
us. Take care.
You too.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.